Welcome to Tuned In with Mike Johnson, a public service of Mount Wilson FM Broadcasters and Global Jazz Incorporated. Now, here's Mike.
And a very good Sunday morning. This is Tuned In on Go Country 105, KJazz 88.1, and K-Mozart 1260. My guest this morning is Robert T. Kiyosaki. I don't want to blow your name first thing, Robert. Go ahead and say your name for me.
Kiyosaki.
Sounds
like Kawasaki.
He is the author of the book, Why A Students Work for C Students and B Students Work for the Government. Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us on this Sunday morning.
Thank you.
The book that you wrote really got my attention from a personal level for me because, as we said before we went on the air, I have a son who just graduated high school. Robert, you know, especially in this day and age, money is always so important and the economy is always in the state of flux, to be polite. You know, I think one of the things that you bring up in your book is how students are taught about money. So I think the basic question I can ask you to start is, are schools teaching kids to be rich?
Well, the question I always ask parents and teachers is, are schools preparing your child for the real world, is really the question. You know, because rich or poor, smart or stupid, we all use money.
Right.
And for some reason, money seems to be this quasi-religious evil subject that you can't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll ask the question, are schools preparing your child for the real world? You know, you can answer that question yourself.
Sure.
I have my opinion about it, and I'm concerned about it.
Well, and rightfully so. Obviously, you know, as parents, and especially the generation that's growing up these days, there was a story recently in Time magazine that sort of implied that this generation has the capability to be the next great generation, if you will. But many of them are viewed as, you know, slackers and people who are going to live with mom and dad till they're 30.
Yeah, but I think that's concern of every generation.
Sure.
You know? So I think kids are just kids and they grow up eventually. but this is a different generation because they actually have more power to access the world through their iPhones or, you know, comparable tools such as that. We didn't have those tools. You know, I remember when I was starting in business, I had to carry, you know, tons of quarters in my pockets and run to the airport and try to use a payphone.
Sure.
And now they just hit a button and they're on to the world.
My guest is Robert Kiyosaki. He is the author of Why A Students Work for C Students and B Students Work for the Government. This is Tuned In on Go Country 105, KJazz 88.1, and K-Mozart 1260. Robert, in your opinion, is the financial crisis over?
No, I think the financial crisis is just beginning. But what I say in my book is that it's not a financial crisis, it's an educational crisis. And with the lack of financial education, you have to look at our brightest and our best, from the president to the Congress and all this on down. How can these people, most like our president, I mean, both Romney and Obama went to Harvard, but
right.
How can these smart, educated people make us, I think, the second or third largest debtor nation in the world? You know, how can you keep spending money we don't have? So obviously, even the best and the brightest are kind of lacking in their own financial education.
And you bring up a point there, of course, that it doesn't matter, Democrat or Republican, they were, in that sense, both sides of the same coin, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely, but there was one big difference during this last election. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, I'm kind of independent.
Mm-hmm.
But you notice when Mr. Obama made $3 million in income and he paid like 28% in taxes, whereas Romney made $21 million in income but paid 12% in taxes. And that just infuriated people. You know, I mean,
sure.
How in the world did that guy not pay taxes? Well, the question is, how come they don't teach our kids the difference between Romney and Obama? In other words, you know, if I was a kid, I would like to know how Romney makes so much money and not pay as much taxes.
Sure.
But it just infuriated the Democrats, you know.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, I mean, that comes down to maybe scruples might be the wrong word, but I mean, is it honorable to pay your fair share, or is it just smart to get around it?
Well, that's what I wrote about it, why A Students Work for C Students, is that taxes, if you're going to teach your kids financial education, it begins with taxes and then debt. Because the two things that make the rich richer are debt and taxes, and what makes the poor and middle class poor are debt and taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you leave high school not knowing the difference between debt and taxes and all this, or why Romney can make so much more money and pay less in taxes, the child is not able to make a more educated or better career decision, should I say.
Sure.
So with a lack of education is really the issue, because what you'll find out in my book is that the tax laws of the United States and the tax laws of most nations are written to inspire people to pay less taxes. But if you're not taught that, you don't know that, and you just think the rich are cheating people.
And, you know, obviously, if you're trying to, you know, watch every penny, if you're trying to watch every dollar so that you're saving for tomorrow, or you're just trying to invest in whatever you want to invest in, or if you just want to buy a car, as simple as that, you know, obviously, these tools can really, really be useful.
Right. And one of the biggest, most damaging words, you know, because I wasn't good at Sunday school either, but they said the words do become flesh. You know, they keep telling you to save money, but does it make sense to save money when the Federal Reserve Bank, the Bank of Japan, are printing trillions of dollars every year? You know, when you print money, the value of your savings goes down.
Right.
And yet the financial experts are still saying save, save, save. What you'll find in my book, it makes more sense to go debt, 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 because debt is tax-free, and you don't have to save it. So it's completely opposite. That's what I'm saying.
Hmm.
The reason the rich are getting richer is not because of a financial crisis of the economy, but because the poor and middle class don't have the same education.
Well,
you know, I don't save money. I'm using debt to get rich. And it's so, what do you call that, counterintuitive.
Sure.
It's opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I wanted to bring out in why A-Students Work for C-Students. Because as parents, and you can tell your kids, there's another point of view out there. There's another way of looking at this thing called money. But if you don't learn it at school, don't learn it at home, the child's going to run out, just get a job, and try and save money, and the rich kids will beat them up all day long.
I saw from the stats that I have received here, an overwhelming 84% of students say they need financial education, yet only 20% of teachers feel comfortable teaching it. Is this the sort of thing where it really needs to start from the home?
Yes.
Or is this something that should really be worked hand in hand between parents and teachers?
Well, I wouldn't mess with the teachers, because you know the story of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is my true story. My poor dad was the head of education of the state of Hawaii, a PhD, a good man, you know, and all this, but he didn't know anything about money. He was also head of the teachers union.
Wow.
And those guys do not want you to tell them anything. So I just kind of stay away from school, whereas my rich dad was my best friend's father, and he is a man who didn't graduate from school. But when you look at Waikiki Beach today, his family owns much of the land that the hotels are on.
Nice.
And so my rich dad began teaching me about money when I was 9, just playing Monopoly. And today I own my hotels, I own golf courses, oil wells, and all this. Whereas my classmates who are A students, you know, one of them is an astronomer sitting on some mountaintop, and the other is some oil geologist sitting in the jungles of South America.
Mm-hmm.
But I make more in a day than they'll make in a year sometimes.
You know, I think your point there is well taken about education. I mean, and getting the basic tenets down early. I mean, how early would you start talking to children about money? Are you talking about 5 years old?
Yeah, as soon as they know the difference between a $5 bill and a $2 bill, or a $1 bill, should I say.
Sure.
You know, I mean, kids are always interested in money, and for some reason we don't teach them about it. You know, I mean,
do you think it's taboo to a degree?
That's what I was saying. It's a kind of a quasi-religious, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yep.
Well, it's not money that's evil, it's how you make your money that's evil. Or, for example, if I'm robbing banks, that's illegal.
Sure.
But if I'm borrowing debt, banks money and getting rich, that's legal.
My guest is Robert Kiyosaki, and the book is Why A Students Work for C Students and B Students Work for the Government. The program is tuned in on Go Country 105, KJAZZ 88.1, and K-Mozart 1260. Robert, you mentioned in the title of the book, and B Students Work for the Government. That's sort of in smaller font, but explain a little bit more about that. That's kind of interesting to me.
Well, you're picking on me a little bit here. That's a very hot subject with me. Well, you know, in California today, a lifeguard can retire at 51. You know, a government lifeguard retires at 51 with a $110,000 a year pension, indexed for inflation, plus medical benefits.
Wow.
In Arizona, one of our city planners just retired. He worked for the city for 6 years. He retired with $750,000 paycheck for life, indexed for inflation.
Good Lord.
So what I'm saying here is our public servants are public self-servants. I'm not saying they're bad people. They're like my dad, you know. They're government people who don't know anything but to have the government take care of them. But the trouble is, it's now getting out of hand that the biggest problem facing America is entitlement problems, not Al-Qaeda. You know what I mean?
Sure. And, you know, and I think that comes, obviously, again, from the youngest days, you know, especially, and I'm not picking on this generation, but, you know, as we spoke about earlier and even before we were on the air, you know, when you wake up today and you realize, oh, I want to have an iPod and I want to have 4,000 songs on it, blink of an eye, it'll be there. And you can do that.
Right.
And the entitlements that not just the young generation now, but even my generation, I'm in my mid-40s, have to a degree, I guess there's a sense that maybe, you know, in the past, maybe our previous generations had to work really hard to get the things that they really wanted, homes, cars, etc. Whereas my generation, the generation of my son, it's, you know, blinking of an eye, and it's right there.
Well, it's worse than that, is that if your child has classmates, you know, like I have a friend from Boulder, Colorado, and his son, who was 16 years old, came home crying. I said, why? He said, well, you know, Johnny down the street, Dad, just bought him a new Porsche. And
oh, boy.
You haven't bought me a new Porsche. It means you don't love me.
Yeah.
He says it took about a week to try to explain how much a Porsche cost. You know?
Sure. You know, and I think your point is very well taken. I live in Orange County, and my son recently graduated from high school. I think about another fellow that I used to work with who bought his son a brand new $25,000 automobile, and he wrecked it with inside of a month. The difference is, you know, again, not to pick on my son, so don't tell him if he's listening right now. You know, he's going to get my car with 250,000 miles on it.
That's more than I got.
Yeah. but the point, obviously, is, again, the self-entitlement that you speak of. Why A students work for C students? Now, this brings to mind the question, how does a C student beat an A student?
Well, simply by studying what A students don't study.
Such as?
Well, understanding taxes. And also, I don't use the same words. I mean, the words I learned from my rich dad were different than my poor dad. Like, my poor dad always used the words like get a job, have a career, get out of debt, live below your means. Those were not the same words my rich dad used. My rich dad would say, why don't you learn to use debt to get rich? So today, the reason I'm a rich man is not because I have a lot of money. It's very simply I know how to use debt. See, debt can make you rich and can make you poor. Also, the more debt you use, the less tax you pay. So little bits of information like that before I left high school gave me a tremendous head start over my peers who were climbing the corporate ladder. So it's very simple. You know, from Sunday school, the words become flesh. So if your child, begin to learn the language of money, you have a far better head start in life. It's not about money. It's about education. And words are free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't use the words career. I don't use the word jobs. I don't use the word vacation. I don't use the word retirement. Because I don't need any of those things. It's a different world when you change your words. That's all I'm saying.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting. Robert Kiyosaki is my guest. This is Tuned In on Go Country 105, KJAZZ 88.1, and K-Mozart 1260. Robert, where did you learn to get rich? We talked about that, obviously, from your rich dad versus your poor dad.
No, as I said, my real dad was the head of education in the state of Hawaii, you know, a Stanford graduate, PhD, University of Chicago, Northwestern, University of Hawaii. And he was an academic. He was a straight-A student. He was my poor dad, though. And my rich dad was my best friend's father, who had no education. But when you look at Waikiki Beach, his family owns the land underneath that, and he started with nothing. So he started teaching his son and me, my rich dad. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Hilo, Hawaii, and we would just play Monopoly. And we'd sit there playing Monopoly, and as we were playing, my rich dad would talk to me as the game was evolving, saying, this is why the rich are getting richer. This is why the poor are poor. And so at the age of 9, like I said, by the time I left for college, and I did go to school, I have a Bachelor of Science degree and all that, but I knew what I was learning in school had nothing to do with my financial future. I knew when I graduated, and I went to flight school with the U.S. Marine Corps. I flew out of Camp Pendleton. I went to Vietnam, and I flew out of Vietnam. And I came back home, and my military service was over. At that point, my poor dad wanted me to go back and get my MBA, and I said no. And what I did instead was I took a real estate course, 3 days, $385. And that real estate course has made me a multimillionaire over and over and over again. I wish I could say it was harder, but it wasn't. And I'm still playing Monopoly, you know, four greenhouses, red hotels.
It's interesting because the concept of Monopoly, we've all played it, obviously, at one time or another.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when things are going well and you're loading up on the houses and the hotels and Park Place and Boardwalk and all that stuff, and then, of course, eventually you get one of those cards that says pay your taxes because of all the hotels or all the houses you have on your properties. And every once in a while we hear a story in the news about someone who's won $300 million in the lottery and has blown it all. So I guess I'm getting that. Why do rich people go broke?
Well, as I just said, they're not really rich people. They don't have any financial education. And, you know, if you get wiped out by a market downslide like we just had in 2007 when the subprime market crashed,
right?
That's when I made the most money in all my life. See, the real reality is people who are professionally in the money markets make more money when markets are coming down than going up. The average person is trying to have money appreciate or their houses appreciate or their stock appreciate, and the pros will pick them up as they're coming down. So it's a different game. The reason I write and I speak and I say that is I'm very concerned because as you asked me, is the financial crisis over? The crisis is just beginning because today we have, 80, I don't know how many million baby boomers.
Right.
Who are starting to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Social Security is set to go bankrupt in 2033. And the biggest of all unfunded liabilities is Medicare, which is $62 trillion. That's more money than all the money in the world. We're technically bankrupt today, except that because people can't read the government's financial statements, they think we can do this forever. And that's what I'm afraid of. So this has happened throughout history. The Romans tried the same thing. The Germans tried it. The Chinese tried it. Now the Americans are trying it. They're trying to get ahead by printing money. Tragic.
Very, very scary. Very scary.
Yeah, that's why I wrote Why Isn't Ruthless Sea Students, because as a parent, if you don't change your point of view, then change your child's point of view. The point is you can actually make more money when the thing goes down.
which is really stunning. I get the idea, especially when the market is down and you can buy a home for cheap, that's the time to buy a home. But what you're talking about, obviously, on a, you know, historical landmark, this is frightening stuff.
Right, and you look at how many baby boomers today are, and retirees and the state pension plans and all this are dependent upon the stock market, and, you know, Bernanke is just printing trillions of dollars to keep that stock market up. And they say the crisis is over. Well, I hope it is, but I don't think it is. And I think millions of people will be in serious trouble. And that's why I think it's best you protect yourself rather than expect the government to protect you.
My guest this morning is Robert Kiyosaki. He is the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the number one financial book of all time. His new book here is Why A Students Work for C Students and B Students Work for the Government. Perspectives on money and investing that often contradict conventional wisdom. Robert has earned an international reputation for straight talk, irreverence, and courage, has become a passionate and outspoken advocate for financial education. This is Tuned In on Go Country 105, KJAZZ 88.1, and K Mozart 1260. Robert, after you wrote the first book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, did you feel that you had left things unsaid in the first book, or did you just have further concepts that you wanted to get out there with the new book?
You know, as I said, rich or poor, smart or not smart, we're all going to use money, except very few people have any financial education. It affects everything in our lives. You know, money's not the most important thing, but it affects everything that is important. It affects our health. It affects our safety. In other words, if you're poor, you live in a dangerous neighborhood, and it affects your child's education. So when I talk to these teachers, you know, I say, well, money is not the most important subject. I go, well, then stop taking your paycheck. See how important it is, you know?
Sure, sure.
So most people don't even know that money, the rules of money changed in 1971. When President Nixon took us off the gold standard, that allowed the banks of the world to print as much money as they can, and still yet, financial advisors advise you to save, 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 and put it in the stock market. And all I'm saying is this, is when the stock market goes up, as it has been over the past few weeks, all the amateurs come in, then the market crashes, and the professionals take their money. You know that's the game, I know that's the game, but people still play it.
And it keeps going on and on, though. The wheel must keep rolling along, but obviously there's going to be a time when, you know, there's going to be hell to pay.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's up right now because the baby boomers are broke.
Right.
And you look at the state of California, your pensions, you know, CalPERS or CalSTANS, they're broke. The retirements are broke. And then all of these guys running your pension plans made the predictions that the stock market goes up year after year at 8%. Well, you've got to be an idiot to think all markets keep going up.
Sure.
Eventually, they crash. And so that's why when you look at the entire system, without financial education, some of our most important leaders are not financially educated. I'm not against President Obama. He's a fellow Hawaiian. But I don't think he knows much about money. You know, Romney knows more about money than he did. So if you want your kids to be like Obama, then just keep going to school. If you want to understand how Romney plays this game, that's what I wrote A Students for, because Romney plays according to the rich. There's different games, different rules. And most people don't know that. And they think the rich are crooks. What it is just a matter of ignorance, not knowing that there's different ways to play this game.
Robert, in your book, you talk about children, and obviously, as I said, that was one of the things that got me most interested in your book right off because of the age of my son. Children being entrepreneurs, tell us about that.
Well, I think most kids are entrepreneurs, except our schools beat them out of it by telling them to go to school and get a job. That's why I don't use the word job, I don't use the word career, and I don't go to school to get a job. I go to school to learn to have money work for me. So today, I have thousands of employees. Many of them are much higher educated than I am. But the reason I signed their paycheck is because they still have in their head, look for a job. You know, the words do become flesh.
Mm-hmm.
If you say I'm looking for a job, you find one. I don't want to find a job. I want to find great investments. I want to start great businesses like Steve Jobs or Bill Gates. Guys who dropped out of school become entrepreneurs.
And, you know, especially talking about those guys, I mean, exactly, these are people who didn't, you know, educationally, you might think, well, they didn't go too far, but obviously things worked out pretty well for them now, didn't it?
Well, look at that kid. He didn't finish high school, and he created Tumblr, and I think Yahoo bought it for $1.1
billion. Yeah.
Didn't hurt him dropping out of high school.
Not at all.
And so your son right now, I'm sure amongst his peers are going, how come that guy makes $1.1 billion? And I'm getting into deep debt with college loans. Kids aren't stupid, you know.
You know, and I think you're talking about a mentality that obviously is, it's creating your own way.
Right. You have the right to your own universe, your own world.
Sure.
And, you know, when I was a kid, I'm a child of the 60s, and I came home and I started the first nylon and Velcro surfer wallet business out of Hawaii. And the newspapers called me an entrepreneur. And my poor dad, you know, I'm getting a PhD from Stanford and all this, he says, my son, you see what they called you? I said, what? He said, they called you an entrepreneur. I said, Dad, what does that mean to you? He says, it means you're a crook. And that is the attitude. That's still inside the school system. I promise you that.
Mm.
And that's what they're passing on to kids. That's why when I talk to school teachers, I say, well, money's not that important to me. I said, then why is the biggest labor union in the U.S. the teachers' union? If money is not that important to you.
Getting your kids to follow their dreams, I mean, it obviously is what has worked for you and has worked for many folks. But, you know, you're right. There is a mentality that comes along that says you must do A, B, C, D, E, et cetera, in that sort of order. So I think, was it initially when you struck out on your own, was there a little bit of, well, I'm kind of going off on my own, I hope this works, or did you just have the self-confidence that you knew what you were doing?
That's a great question, because when I left, at the time I was working for Xerox, you know, because my rich dad said, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you have to learn how to sell.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a job with Xerox learning how to sell. So when I became number one in sales, I let my company know I was leaving. And they said, what do you mean? You have a good career here. So I didn't want a career. I just wanted the sales skills. So when I left, I still remember about four or five people saying, you're going to fail. And what I said to them is, you're right, because failure is how we succeed. You know, a baby doesn't learn to walk unless they fall down a number of times.
Sure.
You don't learn to ride a bicycle the first time. You know, Tiger Woods didn't start off as a world champion. He made a lot of mistakes.
Sure.
Unfortunately, what kids are learning in school today is not to make mistakes. And that's why they don't get ahead, because they think mistakes make you stupid. Whereas in reality, in the world of entrepreneurs, mistakes make you smarter. And so I was talking to my friend who has a young daughter, and she says it makes her sick because the teacher awards the kids in the school little happy faces. The kids with the most happy faces are the kids who made the least mistakes. And her daughter, who isn't wired up that way, is the one they're always calling stupid because she makes a lot of mistakes. So that's why I wrote Why A-Students Work for C-Students, is you have to understand your children are being programmed to be employees of guys like me, C-Students. That's why I hire the A-Students.
Robert, thank you very much for waking up with us early on this Sunday morning.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the time.
The book is called Why A-Students Work for C-Students. His name is Robert Kiyosaki, and the book is available at all the major places online and elsewhere that you would pick up books. This is Mike Johnson. We'll see you again next Sunday morning with Tuned In here on Go Country 105, KJAZZ 88.1, and K-Mozart 1260. Have a great week.
To contact us at Tuned In, email tunedinmj@gmail.com. That's tunedinmj@gmail.com. Or write Mike Johnson, Tuned In, 1288 North Bellflower Boulevard, Long Beach, California, 90815. And please join us again next week for another edition of Tuned In.